We have been working our way through the joyful letter of Philippians. And this morning, we come to a kind of the passage of all passages when it comes to this letter. This is like the text of all texts. Without any exaggeration, the verses I'm about to read are some of the most theologically rich and practically significant verses in all the Bible. The reality is you could really do 20 messages on the verses that I'm about to read, but we're just going to do two. So next week, I want to look at the same verses, but really focus on the lordship of Jesus and what that means for our lives. But this morning, as you see in your bulletin, I just want to focus on humility. Yes, that's right, humility. Everyone's favorite subject, right? Who wakes up and thinks, you know what I want to learn about today? How to become more humble. But we really should, because what we're learning through this letter is that humility is the path to joy. Do you want more joy in your life? Joy is the byproduct of gaining more humility. And if you're listening to this and maybe you're thinking, oh, you know, I thought the message might be for me this morning, but, you know, seeing that it's not humility, I don't really think it's for me. I sort of got this whole humility thing down. Then it's definitely for you this morning. The old writer William Law once wrote, "There can be no surer proof of a confirmed pride than a belief that one is sufficiently humble." And so, friend, all of us, starting with myself, we need to learn how to grow in this area, in the attitude and the actions of humility. But what is it? What is Christian humility? Why is it so important? How do we get it? Well, this is what Paul's going to teach us from this great passage, Philippians 2, beginning at verse 3. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This ends the reading of God's word. What a passage, right? There is so much here. As I said, we couldn't cover it all, even if there was 20 messages on these verses. But in the time that we have this morning, what I'd like to do, as our focus is on humility, is just draw out a handful of things that we can learn about humility from this text. In just these 9 verses, Paul teaches us about the nature, the source, the example, the choice, and the blessings of humility. Here they are again. The nature, the source, the example, the choice, and we see the blessings of humility. Let's go. First, the nature. What is humility? If someone were to ask you, could you define humility for me? What is Christian humility? What would you say? Would you have a definition ready to go? This is a great text that teaches us really the nature and essential meaning of humility. And what we see here is that humility is the mindset of a servant. Humility is the mindset of a servant. Did you catch the emphasis on the mind here? On how you're thinking? Notice verse 3, you're considering others more significant. In verse 4, you're thinking about others' interests, not just your own. And then what does he say in verse 5? He literally comes out with it and says, "Have this mind." You see, that's humility. Humility is a mindset. Humility is a way of thinking before it's ever a way of living. And then as he goes along and he describes the humility of Jesus, he says he took the form of a servant. So humility is the mindset of a servant. Humility is walking into a room, walking into church, walking into your house, walking into your home or your office, your workplace, and saying, I'm here to serve. It's servant-mindedness. But here's the thing. It's right at this point where we've got to be very careful, because servant-mindedness is not living with low self-respect. It's actually living with low self-preoccupation. You've probably heard the old saying, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. So, for example, what does he mean here? Count others more significant than yourself. Does that mean if LeBron James, let's say, is holding a basketball clinic? LeBron James hosting this basketball clinic where he's teaching a bunch of teenagers the skills and the techniques, you know, how to play basketball. Does counting others more significant than yourself mean that LeBron James is going to go around and look at these teenagers and think, okay, you're better than me. Yeah, you're better than me. You're better than me. Me. No, I'm not good at all. No. No, you see, that's false humility. Humility is not lying to yourself. Humility is the mindset of a servant. What it would mean is LeBron James going around and looking and saying, you know what, this camp isn't to serve me, it's to serve you. What's more important is not my experience that I'm getting out of this camp, but your experience. You see, that's the idea. This whole thing is not here to serve me, it's here to serve you. And so that's the idea. Humility is the mindset of a servant. And so question would be, how do we view ourselves? How do I view myself when I'm thinking about my home life? Am I parading around the house as, Master Jeremy, Lord Jeremy, and trying to figure out all the ways I can get my family to serve me? Or am I thinking of myself as Servant Jeremy and thinking of all the ways that I can serve them? This is humility. It's adopting the mindset of a servant. What would it look like in our relationships if we, instead of trying to one-up one another, tried to outserve one another? What would our relationships look like if we tried to outserve one another instead of trying to outdo one another and outrank one another? Remember, he's talking about Christian unity, as we looked at last week. And one of the things that unifies a team is when the individual isn't out for the individual, but is there to serve the greater good of the team. And so this is the first thing that we see. Humility is the mindset of a servant. Someone once said this: when I talk to a prideful leader, I get the feeling that they're important. But when I talk to a humble leader, I get the feeling that I'm important. It's living to serve others. It's putting their interests before your own. The second thing that we see here about the nature of humility, before we move on, is that humility is actually the redirection of ambition. This is really important that we see this. Look at the beginning of verse 3 again. Notice he doesn't say, do nothing from ambition. Ambition is not the problem. Having goals, having dreams, having a zeal and a passion for life is not the problem. He doesn't say, do nothing from ambition. What does he say? Do nothing from selfish ambition. You see, humility is not the rejection of ambition. It's the redirection of ambition. Instead of living for yourself, living to make a name for you, living for the glory of you, it's living for the good of others. Did you catch the emphasis on others here? Verse 3, it's others. Verse 4, it's the interest of others. I got to share this. Not too long ago, the previous church that we served at, there was this young lady, as a young college student, and she had been struggling with different degrees of self-pity, mild depression, and was really struggling. And she came to me at the end of one of the services, and she shared this. She said, I didn't know why, but I had lost my joy for life. I tried as hard as I could, but I couldn't get it back. And had actually become hopeless of ever getting it back. But she said one word from Philippians 2, from this passage, she said, it broke the spell. Others. I finally realized I was never going to get joy by focusing on my joy, but by focusing on the good and the joy of others. See what she was acknowledging? in different ways. She got caught up into the whole mantra and lie of our culture. What is the lie of our culture? That life is all about you. That it's all about the self. It's all about self-discovery and self-actualization and self-promotion. And it's this lie that it becomes where it's all about me. Live for yourself. Look out for number one. No one's going to tell me what to do. And you see, friends, Jesus has come to deliver us from that. Literally in 2 Corinthians, it says that Jesus died so that we would no longer live for ourselves. And what humility does is it reshapes, it redirects our ambition. No longer are we living for the glory of self. We're living for the good of others. And in that, we find our joy. This is one of the things that we've got to remember, that the more preoccupied we are with how am I doing? How are other people looking at me? How are other people thinking of me? How's my joy going? The less we're actually going to be experiencing joy. But what freedom, what joy is there, friend, when you wake up in the morning and your first question isn't, how can I be happy? But instead it's, how can I be helpful? How can I be useful? This is what we see here. Humility is, it's the mindset of a servant, and it's actually the redirection of ambition. Don't get me wrong, but I got to say this before we move on. This doesn't mean that you stop taking care of yourself. Notice he doesn't say deny your own interests. Do you see that in verse 4? He's just saying don't make your life all about you and your own interests. Think about the interests of others. Look out. Look. That's what humility does. It causes us to see others, to see the needs of others. And so what this means is that when humility is reshaping your life, even our important, necessary times of self-care become less about self. And they actually become more about finding a renewed strength in order to serve others. It's almost like a player on a team. What's the off season for? It's not ultimately for the self, you see. It's actually to be renewed, to be equipped to serve others. This is what we see here. All right, first, two things. Humility is the mindset of a servant, and it's the redirection of ambition. Now, where do we get it? How do we get it? How do we get this new mindset of a servant and new ambition to serve others instead of just living for ourselves? Well, notice he says, he gives us the key in verse 5. What does he say? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in trying harder. No. He doesn't say, here's where you're going to get humility. Here's the secret of humility. Just try harder. It's yours if you just try hard enough. No, what does he say? I love how the ESV translators bring this out. He says, it's already yours in Christ Jesus. Remember what we talked about before, that the Christian life is not trying to become someone you're not. It's learning to become who God says you already are. It's not trying to become someone you're not. It's learning to become who God says you already are. He says, this mindset is already yours in Christ Jesus. Now, let me try to draw this out this way. Some of you have maybe heard me share it this way before. But when I was growing up, all I wanted to be was a professional basketball player. And no matter who, what team you rooted for, when you were growing up in the 90s, every kid wanted to be Michael Jordan. And Gatorade capitalized on this, and so they had this commercial, Be Like Mike, and they actually had this jingle, sometimes I dream that he is me. You've got to see that's how I dream to be, like Mike, if I could be like Mike. And then it ends with, be like Mike, drink Gatorade. And I drank a lot of Gatorade. And I was still like Jeremy. I was still very much like Jeremy because really a miracle needed to happen. Somehow, supernaturally, if I was going to be like Jordan, this scrawny 5'11 kid from New Hampshire, the talent and the athletic ability, somehow, supernaturally, a miracle needed to happen. You see, in the same type of way, that's actually the miracle that happens in salvation. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, he doesn't just forgive your sins, kind of dust you off and send you on your way. His Spirit comes to dwell within you. His mindset. Do you see what Paul is saying here? Before he sets Jesus up as an example, he reminds you that you already have this in Christ Jesus. This is yours. This is yours. Not in trying harder. It's yours in Christ Jesus. And this is so important that we see this, friend, because if you look at Jesus as just your example, it'll crush you. If you look at Jesus as just your example of humility, it'll crush you, because who could ever live up to that? You've got to see that Jesus is first and foremost your substitute. You see, what is the gospel? The gospel is not good advice. Be humble for Jesus. The gospel is good news that Jesus has lived humbly for you. And as I said, when you receive him as your Savior, when you see that he's fulfilled the law in your place, every moment where you were prideful, he was humble. When you see that, his spirit, his mindset comes to dwell within you. And so the Christian life becomes appropriating that and living that out. This is mine in Christ Jesus. Now, what does it look like to live it out? Well, this is the example. So we see the nature, we see the source, but look at the example. We've got to see what does this look like when it's really developing in our lives. And notice, as he describes the life of Jesus here, we'll never understand the humility of Jesus until we understand the identity of Jesus. We'll never understand the true humility of Jesus until we understand the true identity of Jesus. How does he describe Jesus? Who, though he was in the form of God, as the Nicene Creed puts it, very God of very God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. The word means to be held onto for dear life. This is mine. When he became a human being, he didn't empty himself of his divinity. He emptied himself of his glory, the rights and all the privileges of his divinity. And we'll never understand his humility until we understand his identity. And several years ago, this really dawned on me when I came across this story. It was actually in 2007 when the Washington Post decided to do an experiment. What they did was they asked the violinist Joshua Bell, who is, if you're at all familiar with Joshua Bell, he is one of the masters of the violin in the whole world. And they asked him to just dress up as an average Joe and stand in the D.C. Metro, the subway system. And, you know, he wore a ball cap and this long T-shirt. And they asked him to take this $3.5 million Stradivarius and stand there dressed up as an average Joe and play some of the most difficult pieces of music, just to see what would happen. And they counted, he played for almost an hour, and they counted that it was 1,097 people that walked by him within that hour, and only 7 stopped to listen. Here is this master violinist, and he made himself nothing. Here is this master violinist who just a few days earlier was playing on the world stage, and the tickets were going for hundreds of dollars. And here he is being ignored. And if you see any beauty in that, that is nothing compared to what the true and greater Joshua has done for us. Who is Jesus? The master of the universe, the Son of God. And he has come to subway earth. And in so many different ways, but by so many people, he was ignored. He was scorned. He was rejected. He made himself nothing. In the DC Metro, they didn't get it. They didn't see. You see, what is humility? It's serving people who don't get it. Even on the cross, what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't get it. That the King of heaven and earth, the Prince of heaven, is there on the cross, dying in our place, bearing the judgment for our sins that we deserved. And they didn't get it. Think of it this way. We can take all our questions and all our objections that we might have of Christianity, and friend, you can put them in the light of this one great question. Who do you think Jesus is? If you think of Jesus this morning as just a kind, nice, moral teacher who grew up in a Middle Eastern country and who just taught people to love one another, you'll never appreciate his humility. You'll never see his humility until you acknowledge his identity. This is the King of all creation. This is the author of life itself, your life, my life. Making himself nothing, going through the death of a cross so that we could be with him forever. Here's the Son of God willingly putting himself in a place that he didn't deserve so that by faith in him, you could be in a place you don't deserve. Paul is saying, this is how humility grows in your life. It's not by looking at the rules, it's by looking at the ruler. It's by looking at the king of all humility who's done this for you. And he wasn't forced to do it. So the fourth thing I want to bring out very briefly, the choice of humility. Notice it says, he emptied himself. He humbled himself. It's not like God the Father said to God the Son, well, you're going to have to go down and rescue him from this. And God the Son says, oh, really? You're going to have to fulfill the demands and the penalties of the covenant if they're going to be with us forever. Father, do I have to? Really? No. Jesus didn't have to be humbled. He willingly humbled himself. He served people who didn't get it. He made a choice each and every day to serve. And friend, this is the choice we have. Every day we have a choice. Am I going to grasp after recognition? Am I going to live for myself? Or am I going to serve? Am I going to live to be a blessing to others? It's a daily choice that we make to make ourselves nothing and to live for the good of others. And fifth and finally, we see the blessings of this. How does this passage end? Again, we're going to look at more of this next week, Lord willing. But how does this passage end? He goes down, right? The great descent, leaves the throne of heaven, becomes a human, takes on the form of a servant, goes into the point of death, even death on the cross, and then what happens? And he has been highly exalted. The Bible tells us that humility comes before honor. And it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. My friend, get low. Get low. When we live in humility, we cannot lose. This is what, in the example, in the life of Jesus, he's teaching us, that in humility, you cannot lose. There is joy, there is honor in this life of humility. And so I'll just close with this. Now, we've seen just a number of things about humility in just this short time together. And so let me just recap. The nature of humility is the mindset of a servant. We're here to serve others. It's the redirection of ambition. It's taking the zeal, taking the passion, instead of living to make a name for yourself, it's living for the good of others. And we see the source of this humility. It is ours in Christ Jesus. Appropriate what you have in Christ. And then look at what he's done for you in his great humility. The example is his life. The choice is a daily decision to serve. And the blessings are the joy and the honor that God sets before us. Let's walk in the Spirit this week. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you have shown us what true greatness is all about. As you said yourself, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that has opened up our eyes so that we might see the cross for what it truly is. You putting yourself in a place you didn't deserve so that we could be in a place we don't deserve. So that we can be here on the Lord's Day, not just forgiven, but with a new spirit, a new power that's within us. And Lord, I pray that we would live that out this week, that we draw upon the mind of Christ, and we would walk in humility, knowing the joy and the honor that's set before us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.